I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show at CBS Audio Network. It's a great pleasure to welcome my colleague of many years, Terry Anderson, of the Hoover Institution, writing most recently about the new Secretary of the Interior, Deb Haaland, the 54th Secretary of the Interior, most significantly former 1st Congressional District, New Mexico. Deb Haaland is a Native American, and Terry, for years, has been my guide and teacher about the Native American reservations of the Great West, where glory lives, and how, over several hundred years, beginning in the early 19th century, the U.S. government has abused, has treated the Native Americans without respect, in many instances have made it impossible for the Native Americans to prosper on their own land. And that continues here in the 21st century. Terry has a new piece up that begins a roadmap to how Deb Haaland can not only reverse, but make it possible for the Native American reservations to prosper through the rest of this century. Terry, a very good evening to you. Do I say correctly that Deb Haaland is a fresh air because she is Native American and she has reason to be in sympathy with the reservations, all the reservations across the United States, but particularly in the West, and respond to the deep poverty that is on the reservations? Good evening to you, Terry.
Thank you, John. Yes, I think she is a fresh air, and she's a fresh air because she is the first Native American to head the agency in the federal government that is most responsible for the interface between the federal government and the sovereign nations of Indian reservations. So she's a breath of fresh air in that way. She's a woman. That makes her unusual at the Department of Interior, not the first woman, but she has all kinds of credentials that make her ideal for changing the relationship between the federal government and American Indians, a relationship that has, as you noted, has existed since the 19th century and one that holds the Indians as wards of the state with the Department of Interior, Bureau of Indian Affairs as their guardian. I repeat the words, wards to guardian. John Marshall in 1832, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, ruled saying that the relationship between the federal government and the Indians is, quote, like that of a ward to his guardian. Those, in my opinion, are racist words that need to be eliminated. And Deb Haaland is in a perfect position to say we are not wards and should not be treated as such.
The poverty. Poverty is the presenting issue. What is to be done? And you have taught me, Terry, in your essays and your books, we've talked about them over the years, that the land is the answer. The Indian reservations themselves have billions of dollars, maybe trillions of dollars. I forget the exact number. We throw around the trillion word easily these days. Trillions of dollars of energy that the United States can use, the world can use. And yet, what does that take, Terry, to unleash that energy? And is it compatible with Deb Haaland's testimony about green power?
Well, you raise some really interesting questions in that comparison of green power to Native American resources. First, I would emphasize that American Indians are not guardians, are not wards because they're poor. They're poor because they are wards. What I mean by that is American Indians' land is all held in trust by the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Again, emphasize the words, held in trust. Just as a trustee of a young person's inheritance might help manage that inheritance, the Bureau of Indian Affairs manages the land's 56 million acres of Indian country. And that is the kind of wardship that has held Indians down. As you correctly note, if you go to many of these reservations, they are resource rich. Not all, but many are. Take the Crow Reservation here in Montana where I live. The Crow Reservation has huge coal deposits, low sulfur, high quality coal. They are the single largest owner of coal in the United States. Yet they are not able to mine that coal. And when President Obama declared his war on coal, the chairman of the Crow Nation at the time said, your war on coal is a war on my people. It is that kind of war on resource use that holds Indians on many reservations in poverty. Deb Haaland, in her war against all fossil fuels and in her march forward with the Green New Deal, may be doing harm, more harm than she could possibly imagine to Native Americans.
The puzzle, then, is what is to be done, Terry, and I don't ask us to solve the world right now. However, this tension has to be resolved. If Deb Haaland is to free the Indians from the abuse, the actual physical abuse of the United States government, she's got to give them the opportunity to free themselves, not do it for them, which is what a transfer check does, but to allow them to enjoy those riches and what will follow, which will be education, empowerment, politics. We can see senators and presidents coming from the reservation over the next 100 years. Does she want to do that, Terry? What is your measure of her testimony? Does she see the paradox of being in charge of holding back the Native Americans from their destiny?
Well, I fear that that is not to be found in her testimony and in her congressional hearings when people were grilling her on the kinds of issues that matter, not just to the Western states that are huge energy states, but to the Indians themselves. She has said no drilling on federal lands, no oil and gas exploration on federal lands. Fortunately, the Biden administration backed off of that stance with respect to Indians very quickly, and I'll come back to why. She has also said no more fracking. Again, such an important part of energy development on reservations. And she said no new pipelines. Well, if you have to bring your oil out, you need pipelines, or you're going to have to do it with trucks, which is much, much more expensive. So all of the kinds of things in the Green New Deal that she talks about with respect to fossil fuels run counter to allowing Indians to get wealthy from their resources. Let me turn back to President Biden's quick withdrawal of the no exploration for oil and gas on federal lands applying to reservations. He withdrew that because the Ute tribe of southern Colorado immediately said, this is a disaster for us. The Ute have become very, very wealthy by developing oil and gas on their reservation and doing it in a very environmentally sensitive way, a way that's sensitive to their culture. But they've made millions and millions and put it into the schools on the reservations, to the roads on the reservations, to the healthcare on their reservation, all in investing in a sense in their infrastructure as well as their human capital. They own oil wells in the Gulf of Mexico. Well, the ban of oil and gas exploration on federal lands applies to much of the outer continental shelf then. So they said, you can't do this to us. And Biden, I think, quickly recognized this was not the kind of image he wanted to put forward. And certainly Deb Haaland understands and, I think, backed away from the no drilling on reservations. That said, she's not thinking in the way that I would hope she will eventually, and that is to move away from this guardianship notion of we'll tell you how to do things, we'll provide you with grants, we will help you rather wean yourself from all of that and earn revenues based on the wealth you have.
Terry, quickly, do the people who work for the Bureau of Indian Affairs, do they understand that it looks like they're a colonial empire? Do they understand that irony, the way they dictate what can and can't happen on the reservations?
Well, I doubt they would say, oh, yes, we're a colonial empire. That is, I don't think they quite see themselves that way. But, in fact, they are that, and they act that way. There's little incentive, and little has ever been done at the Bureau of Indian Affairs to reduce the dependency of Native Americans on the Bureau of Indian Affairs, the Department of Interior, and the federal government. And breaking down that bureaucracy is going to be the biggest challenge that Deb Haaland will face if she wishes to bring freedom and dignity to American Indians.
Terry Anderson of the Hoover Institution, writing most recently of the 54th Secretary of the Interior. Congratulations, Deb Haaland. And now, I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show on CBS Audio Network.